It's 90.5 WKAR. On November 26, 1865, English mathematician Charles Dodgson, you might know him better as Lewis Carroll, published Alice in Wonderland. The iconic children's book went on to influence everyone from surrealist painters to psychedelic rock bands. In honor of its 150th birthday, the MSU Library has pulled together an exhibit of Alice-related materials from its collection. Current State's April Van Buren is here to tell us more. Merry unbirthday to you, April.
And a very merry unbirthday to you, Mark. Coincidentally, that happens to be the name of this particular exhibit, which runs through January 15th at MSU's main library. And I met up with Andrew Lundeen, who's the curator of the exhibit and who also does work in special collections at the library. And we talked about Alice's influential legacy that you mentioned. And he started by describing for me some of the materials featured in the exhibit.
So we have a range of material sort of showing the entire influence of Alice. So we have a number of early pieces. For example, we have a rare second edition of Alice published in late 1865. We have a facsimile copy, a 20th century facsimile of Lewis Carroll's original manuscript for Alice in Wonderland, and that shows some of his early illustrations of the character of Alice, kind of gives a sneak peek into his thought process in creating the work. We also have a number of works influenced by Alice, either directly or indirectly. So we have a huge collection of comic books. I don't know if you know this, but MSU Special Collections actually has one of the world's largest, if not the largest, collection of comic books and graphic novels in the world. So we had quite a few related to Alice in Wonderland. Some comic book adaptations for children, and also some graphic novels for a more adult audience. We even have a erotic parody comic that's quite racy. So really, a whole range of material.
How influential was Alice in Wonderland and those original illustrations on artists, whether visual or comic book artist, after Lewis Carroll published it?
Yeah, well, Alice in Wonderland was hugely influential, I think, for a variety of reasons. On the one hand, Lewis Carroll's original language was so colorful and so imaginative and so whimsical that it inspired people's imaginations just to run wild. And on the other hand, the original illustrations for the first published edition were by John Tenniel, a very popular political cartoonist and also a children's book illustrator of the era. And those have gone on to be iconic in their own right and has served as the inspiration for a lot of Alice adaptations to come.
And so when you were putting together this exhibit, how did you choose which pieces you wanted to include?
So on the one hand, we were limited by space, of course, and also limited by the items that we had in the collection. But when it came down to picking and choosing, I wanted to select items that were both representative of Alice. I mean, this is the 150th anniversary, so I wanted a historical look, for example, our early second edition. And I also wanted to show the significant influence that it's had over the years. So we selected a variety of the comic book adaptations, like I said, a number of illustrated editions put out by really well-known artists over the years, like Salvador Dali, who did one in the 60s, Ralph Steadman, best known for collaborating with Hunter S. Thompson in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and other works, and also the surprising influence that Alice had on political propaganda as well. We have a number of works spanning the entire 20th and the 21st century up to now that co-opt, I guess you could say, the language of Alice in Wonderland to make a political point.
Could you give me an example of one of those?
Yeah, so one really interesting one that we have, one of my personal favorites in the collection, is a 1939 work called Adolf in Blunderland. And it's about Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime. And it's very critical of Nazi Germany. And it sort of portrays Hitler as this kind of bumbling, naive, childlike character who is sort of fumbling his way through managing Germany. And it's really quite striking because there are a number of illustrations in the work, and they make you do a double take when you look at them because they take the iconic imagery of the original, for example, the Queen of Hearts and her playing card soldiers, and the playing cards have as their suit a swastika. So it's really, it's quite striking and historically interesting.
I'm talking with Andrew Lundin at the MSU Library. We're talking about an exhibit that celebrates the 150th anniversary of Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. And Andrew, I want to go back a little and talk about sort of the history of Alice in Wonderland. Lewis Carroll didn't start as a children's book author. He was actually a mathematician. What do we know about sort of the origin story of how he goes from a mathematician to one of the world's, you know, most beloved children's authors?
Well, you're right. He was a mathematician and a lecturer at Christ Church in Oxford, but he was also known as sort of a friend to children, and he would often entertain the daughters of the dean of his college. He would take them on picnics and on boating trips and would spin wild tales of adventure and talking animals. And so the story goes that on one such boating trip, he told this story of a little girl named Alice who fell down a rabbit hole into a world of wonder and mystery. And his friends and colleagues liked it so much, and the children liked it so much, that he was urged to send it to the publisher. And he did, and, well, the rest is history.
Was it as popular a book when it was first published? Because I think today it's become such iconic book, such a part of, you know, our cultural history. Did it make that big of a splash when it was first published?
Well, it did make a big splash. Lewis Carroll actually lamented sometimes having written it, because he went from being this very mild-mannered lecturer to an overnight, maybe not overnight, but to, you know, a success story, and was inundated with letters and meeting requests from fans, much like a popular author of today would be. And so, yeah, it was hugely influential. You know, the world of children's literature before Alice Wonderland is really a different landscape. The children's books of the time were more morality tales. They had a moral, and they were aimed at instilling good Victorian morals and practices in their young readers. Alice in Wonderland was one of the first books to actually celebrate childhood and to celebrate fun and the imagination and nonsense. So in that way, it was one of the very first modern children's books, you could say.
And it's interesting because obviously it starts as this children's book, but it's had huge appeal for adult audiences too. I mean, you mentioned the erotic parodies of it in these comic books. Right. You have people who think of it as these metaphors for all these different kinds of drugs. Why do you think it's been so influential beyond just the sphere of children's literature, that it's had this influence on all kinds of culture?
Well, I think there's just something in it that appeals to all of our sense of wonder and imagination. The language is so clever, and the imagery is so whimsical and so playful, that I think that it really just speaks to something in all of us.
I'm here with Andrew Lundin at the MSU Library. We've been talking about A Very Merry Unbirthday, which is an exhibition celebrating the 150th anniversary of Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. Andrew, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, April.
A very merry unbirthday to me.
To who?
To me.
Oh, you.
A very merry unbirthday to you.
Oh, me?
Yes, you.
Oh, me.
It's all congratulations with another cup of tea.